here's where, if you'll remember, here's where most of us make a division. It's between moral, religious, what we call, we'll call it good flesh. And here's bad flesh, all right? So good flesh and bad flesh. So you have, this is what we think that's, you know, there's green, go. That's what God's interested in, right? Good flesh, behave yourself, look good. And here's bad flesh. God doesn't like that. So we make sure we don't do bad flesh, we just do good flesh, right? And everybody, how many appreciate good flesh here? Especially from your husband, your wife, your kids, your boss. You appreciate good flesh. You know, and good flesh works. You know, it's helpful. It's handy. It tends to pay dividends. But you know, it's not what we want. It's not what we like. Boy, we just like Dave here. You know, we just like to do, I want to do what I want to do. You know, and God's the one who loves to kill that. But here, this is what we think is great, but God said this about this. He hates that. He hates righteousness that comes out of your flesh. Amen? What's left? Death. Nothing. Hallelujah. Yeah, so you say. But holy and righteous, this is something that that I can't do. I can't. Everybody say, I can't. Go ahead and say that. You remember what the Israelites said? They said, we can. Yes, we. Everybody say it together. Yes, we can. Ready? Yes, we can. And that's what most church is. Yes, we can. Come on in and, you know, we'll have a good pep rally and yes, we can. Glory to God. You know, the fact here we just kind of recognize the fact you haven't, you didn't, you really don't want to, and so where do we go from here? Amen? Huh? You know, it works out better that way because that way God gets to do what He wants to do. Amen? Especially when you're a nice mom like Shannon, you know, or Tammy. Yeah, you're a nice mom, you do, you know. But then when you're in your house and your kids and you just want to kill them and all kinds of stuff, you know. We just leave moms alone in their house with their kids. Dads just go off to work. I don't want to know. Right, Dave? Yeah, I just don't want to know. She wants to tell you all about what the kids did. I don't want to know. So that's it. That's how we are. We have our agenda. We have the way that we want things to go. And God's interested in holiness. Well, we just don't have it. Amen? Anybody here? You lack holiness. Huh? I'm raising my hand. I wish I had a mirror. I could see me. But since I can't, I'll just look at you. Because you look just like me. Amen? You're taller than me, most of you. That's why I'm up here. I'm up here. It's just preaching, okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, where's the notes? All right, so right here, here's where God makes His division is between holy and unholy. Holy, unholy. Now, He calls this, my righteousness, a filthy rag. Right? He calls that a filthy rag. And that is the nastiest, nastiest thing. This is what God hates. Your righteousness. God hates doing the best you can. Remember the scripture, man at his best is altogether vanity. Which means, what does vanity mean?
Soap bubbles.
Soap bubbles, thank you. That's pretty good, yeah. You know, when we were at the little picnic over the other day at Norman's house, and one of the kids over there, Marguerite's trying to blow bubbles, and I'm going to catch them. She wants me to catch them, and boom, they just go away. Well, we think that's, isn't that cute? Isn't that funny? But that's your righteousness, that you can't get it. All of your good works are absolutely nothing. They stink. All of your good works are absolutely awful. Now, just let that soak in. You mean the ones I really worked on? You mean the ones I really, not the ones you kind of did because you had to. I'm talking about the ones you really thought about. The ones you really worked on and really, you know, polished up. The ones that you were really gonna, you really put bells on those and thought, these good works, God has got to like these. You know better. You absolutely know better. John, how'd you get down the front? How'd you get back to your seat? That's okay. Just stay there. Because now Nick's in that seat. You know, it's amazing how this works out. But see, you fixed up this thing. You did everything you could. You made it so pretty. I mean, how many guys got cars? How many guys got cars that you like? What, I guess somebody? Yeah, I mean, you got that car that you like, and man, you work on that thing. You wish you could polish your wife up like you polish that car up. It's just preaching. Huh? Amen? Wish you could polish her up, just make her just look like you're making that car look. You know, just fix it up just perfectly. Do your kids that way. Like to fix up my kids, like to polish them up too. Make them look really good. Amen? Only problem is, look at the polisher. Look at the guy who's doing the work. Nothing. You can do nothing. I'm trying to fix everything. I'm trying to make it look good. I'm trying to make it where it shines. You know what? You can't do anything to make it shine. Boy, this is a terrible church. Why would anybody preach like this? Because we want to take you completely, completely, completely to the very bottom. Because you are of no value worth by yourself, of yourself. Except for the fact that God likes you. But He likes you for nothing. He sent Jesus while we were yet sinful. Amen? He didn't send it for the high potential group. Remember? You know, He didn't send it for remember the Pharisees and all those guys? You know, He did not come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. He came for the wicked. How many qualify? How many others qualify? Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, you must be raising your foot or your knee. Amen. Come from a different part of the country. Amen. How many qualify? I qualify totally because I'm totally a wicked sinner. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Yeah, thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you recognize that. I mean, don't think anything of your pastor other than the fact that, you know, he trusts Jesus. Amen. Me, Jim, anybody, you know. It's not because he's good. You know, we're not good. We're not good people. Amen? Pastors aren't good people. They just believe the truth. And saying, God, there's nothing here. Amen? There is nothing here. Everybody say there's nothing here. Point right there. Say there's nothing here. Now, are you happy with that? Get happy. Hallelujah. Come on, get happy. Get happy. Because all of the stuff that you can't do, God said, He's done it. Amen? God said He's done it. Now, look here. Now, we've got holy and unholy here. Now, here's what God does. We're going to bring some scripture together on this thing. Now, this, God said, I would rather you be, whoops, that didn't work. I'd rather you be hot or, Jim's got too many colors up here. I don't know how he does this. Oh, here it is. Hot or, what's the other one? Cold. But we end up, here's kind of where we fit in. Lukewarm. And what's he going to do with that guy? Spew him out. Okay, let's say spew. All right, so he doesn't like that one again. See, we got hot, we got cold, and then we got the middle one. And, you know, well, that's the one we like. That's the one we think is, you know, man at his best, right? The one we think is great, God says is nothing. It's bubbles, like John said. It's nothing. It's absolute air. Amen? So here's what I want you to do, and we talked about this before. What I want you to do is begin to make, see this dotted line, is what we called man's division. Why do we call it that? Because man looks upon the flesh, the outward, but God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the inward. He looks upon the heart. So man's division is on what he can see with his eyes. You'll remember that Jesus, when he's talking to the Pharisees, is saying, you know, you say to commit adultery, with a woman is sin. He says, Jesus says, but I say to you, even if you looked on her, to even think about it, it's already done. If you kill a man, you're guilty of murder. Thou shalt not kill. Broke that one. But if you were angry with your brother, you've already done it. You've already done it. So man's division is the outward, which is what? Between moral and wicked. Between, he looks good, he looks like he did a great job. Man, that guy's nice, good, comes to church, heart, wears this tie and coat, you know, to church like the preacher, you know. I want you to look around this church, brother. You're really conspicuous. If anybody came in here and started shooting, they'd shoot you and me first. That's why we try to get you guys to dress down so, you know, the next one that jumps up preaching, they won't even know who he is. I mean, yeah, this brother could jump up and it'd be fine, you know, nobody worry. Said, man, what's he got to say? So that's man's division is between good and evil, between not looking good, looking sweet, looking nice, and, you know, the wicked people out there down the street, right? Amen? It's like our brother here didn't want Tommy to be afraid, you know, because we're not sure who's who. You know what I'm saying? But here, God says, here's God's division is right here. Perfect. Be ye perfect. Well, that means complete, brother. Well, okay, I'll go with you. I'll go with you. That means complete. We are complete in Him. Now, what that means is righteous from the heart. That means under the purview of God's sight and vision. When He looks at me, He sees perfect. He sees perfect in His judgment. But you know what? When He looks at my behavior, He sees stinky. Amen? God does not believe, God is not excusing bad behavior in favor of righteousness. What He does say is now you can come into my presence and I can transform you. Because otherwise, if you'd come into my presence, what would have happened? Remember what God told Moses? He said, you come into my presence, you can't. No man can come into my presence and live. Guess what? You are now living in the presence of God. Right now, you're living in the presence of God. Amen? We're seated together in heavenly places with Him. Now, as far as your flesh is concerned, your flesh is the same that it always was. Now, God says, be perfect. And so His line is drawn much higher than what man's division is. This is God's division. God's division, or His dividing line. God's dividing line is between holy and everything else. Amen? So what I want you to see today is that all your righteousness, all your good works, is no good. It counts for nothing. Your righteousness. See, most people go on a net scale. You know, we have the idea that if I do so many good works, this is all theology. This is all religious tradition. Is that you want to make it easier for the pastor or the priest to look good. So you got people behaving themselves, and it looks like you got a good church. Amen? I mean, when you come to the church, you know, you want your people to behave themselves. And when they're going out on the street, what church do you go to? I go to so-and-so church. Well, who's the pastor? Well, you either want the pastor to be complimented by your outward behavior. It's like your parents, you know. Your parents wanted you to behave. Because they, especially in a small town, they knew whose kids they were. Anybody grow up in a town like that? Where everybody knew who you were. Everybody knew whose kid you were. And before you got home, Dad and Mom already knew what was going on. See, that's God. He already knows what's going on. That's some pastors. Some pastors know what's going on before you get there. They got spies everywhere. Amen? Go catch that guy. They got spies everywhere. Huh? I tell you. It's amazing to live in a Christian church. All right. Now here, but God is with you at all times. So what's he doing? He's in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. He is not out for you to make a net good. Well, I'm going to make up for all the wicked over here with the good over here. He says it's not his interest. His interest is not getting you on a net. You have a complete paid for account. You'll never go in debt again. Amen? You cannot go in debt. You've got a paid for account. But what God is beginning to do now is He is beginning to transform you and change you outwardly. As you seek His face, He is transforming you and changing you outwardly so that you no longer are making this attempt to live morally or righteously without Him. Does that make sense? You are no longer attempting to do this because this is God's line. He doesn't count moral or righteous. He doesn't count that outward behavior. Understand what I'm saying? He doesn't count that outward behavior toward any benefit on your part. Amen? What I'm doing is making a difference between this life, this Christian life, only God can pull it off. Only God can do it. All right? Now, here is typically the conversion that most people want to go to. Is most people come into God and they've done pretty, they've lived pretty moral, pretty good, pretty decent life. So most people have come in their own mind. They look in their own mirror, you know, they've done fairly decently and fairly well, right? How many here like that? Done fairly decent, fairly well. Okay, how many are absolutely, let's kind of get back down to brass tacks. How many know, according, now I know this is according to Scripture, because you, otherwise you're comparing yourself to other people. You are absolutely, totally wicked beyond measure. We're reading the Bible. We're reading the Bible, and it says, all have sinned. So that's me. Amen? Totally, absolutely wicked. No hope for me at all. I have no hope whatsoever of making it onto into God's economy. He's got to come get me. All right? So now most people, though, most folks feel that they've lived pretty good. I mean, you know, they've paid their bills and they've, you know, treated their kids pretty decently and their wife pretty decently. They hear the gospel. Hear how you can actually we're living this life okay. But how would you like to go to heaven when you die? Great, you'd love to do that. Love to go to heaven. Be kind of a vacation package that lasts forever. You know, so you find out that you can actually go to heaven. That'd be great. I'm talking about people who've never heard the gospel. Did you know there are people in this nation who have never heard the gospel? It has gotten so watered down, in fact, so unpopular, just you don't do it. We've lost an entire generation. We've lost an entire generation. When I was in 63, when they quit doing prayer in public school in 63, I remember praying and having the principal come on, ding, 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 you know, and first thing you do is a prayer. Well, and it wasn't a big hairy prayer. You didn't even say in Jesus' name. But the fact is that you recognize God. They don't do that anymore. A lot of folks don't even, a lot of districts don't even do Pledge of Allegiance or anything. One nation under God. Well, at least you had under God somewhere in the morning prayer, in the morning session. A lot of schools don't even do that. So some kids come up with absolutely no concept or no idea of God at all, whatsoever. Most of us, I'm getting older and older. A lot of us grew up with those at least those ideas that God was out there somewhere. All right? And you see, you would grow up like that. We have a generation that has totally grown up without God. And they're good people. They pay their bills, they go send their kids to school. They go to work, make a good living, live up in Colleyville or South Lake, Southwest Fort Worth. I mean, they just do. They just live good lives, basically. But then they hear the gospel. Well, they have nothing good to compare it to. They have nothing whatsoever to compare it to. Is it because they're not Jewish? They don't have a law thing going on. So what they do is basically you read the Bible, behave yourself, and now you can go to heaven if you accept Jesus. That's where people are. That's what they're doing. They don't realize what the deal is that you absolutely have no end, no open door to come into the presence of God. Absolutely none. You have no hope of salvation whatsoever. Only, and it's not based on what you've done, whether it's good or evil. And so the Pharisees really were upset when Jesus would go around talking to harlots and prostitutes and thieves. They called them tax collectors back then. I guess we could call them thieves today too. But these guys were kind of independent contractors. They were hired to go collect taxes, and whatever else you could collect, you could keep in your pocket. You know, I think they're thinking about doing something like that now. Don't you? Actually, I think they passed something like that the other day, called cap and trade. Well, I shouldn't get into that stuff. Well, praise the Lord. So, right here, so God is saying is that this moral and this wicked is all the same, but we're not used to hearing that. Anything that we do, we want to be able to kind of add it up and call it, God ought to appreciate that. But the thing is, you don't understand that there is such a wide, wide gap between who you are and who God is. He is absolutely other from you. He created you, but you are absolutely in another realm, in another world. There is nothing you can do to make yourself acceptable to God. God had to do it through Jesus alone. Amen? He had to do it alone through Jesus. So what he's doing now is he's saying to you, and I want you to understand this, is that there is absolute, because making this distinction will deliver you from fear. It delivers you from the idea that God is waiting on you to straighten up. Waiting on you to perform. Amen? God is not waiting on you to perform. He says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So what his desire is to transform you himself. And he's made you perfect. So here's the transition. Most people here, when they come to the gospel, they do this little jump here. They do that little jump there and call that conversion. Well, I went from being pretty good to holy. I was declared holy in my heart. So you got holy heart. Heart, holy heart, and you got pretty good flesh. And we figure God's happy with that. You know what? God hates that. How many know God hates pretty good flesh? Huh? God hates that. He hates pretty good flesh. He hates that. He would rather have this. He would rather you be cold or hot, but this one he hates. Okay, I want you to meditate on that for a minute. He hates the middle ground. He hates the one who's pretty good. Well, how y'all doing? You know, when Jews who follow the law come together, they say, are you keeping Torah? Doing the best I can. Or yes, I'm working on it. Are you keeping the law? Answer is no. There is none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. So here, God hates the lukewarm. He would rather you be cold or hot. One or the other. But just don't be something in the middle. In other words, don't pretend there's a middle ground. See, I mean, it's totally, what I'm teaching you is totally scriptural because Jesus said it himself. There is either cold or hot. There's not in the middle. There's not in the middle. So what you want to do is say, okay, I can't do this. This one is invalid. This is an invalid conversion to believe that I'm going from going pretty good to perfect. And yet I'm still living down here in the pretty good realm. And, you know, I'm going to try to work on it and hope it turns out a little better, you know, more and more. What God wants you to do is do this one. He wants you to go from pretty good to totally wicked because that's what it is. There is no pretty good. Anybody understand that? Now, I'm not talking about the fact, don't go home and just start kicking the dog. It's not what I'm talking about. You know, it's not helpful. You know, number one, you could get arrested. You know, if you go shoot somebody, shoot your neighbor, you'll probably get arrested. Let me just tell you, it's probably not helpful to go do everything you have in your brain to do. If you do, it doesn't make any difference to God because He already said you were there anyway. You just, remember the thing about whether you thought it or whether you did it. Now, the government's going to come get you. The police are going to come get you down here. Up here, God will get you. When I say God will get you, what I mean is that He doesn't count this one any better than this one. Now, the policeman counts this one. He likes that. Your wife likes that. Your kids like that. Your mother-in-law likes that. Right? I even like it. Don't make trouble. I don't want to come down to the jail at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, it's handy to not do that. It's just helpful. So what you want to do is this is not a good conversion right here. Okay, this is a false, what I'll call false conversion. Here, this is true. This is what I'll call not true conversion, but true repentance is right here. True repentance is going from pretty good to totally wicked in your assessment. Okay? Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you go ahead and just do it? Go ahead. I mean, I know it's hard. You just want to think you're okay because you want to, because God kind of likes where you are at least a little bit, doesn't He? You've got yourself convinced that God kind of likes where you're at. And if you were to admit to this, well, that'd blow years of conning God and conning yourself, wouldn't it? That would blow years of conning yourself into believing I'm okay and you're not okay. Now, oh yeah, Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whosoever you are that judges. You closed your Bible, didn't you? I played a Pastor Jim trick on you. Give you a scripture and then go off, start preaching, and come back. Therefore, you're okay. No, it didn't say that. He says, you are inexcusable, O man. So the women don't have to worry about this. Oh, no, I guess they do. Whosoever you are that judges, for in the same way wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge do the same things. So here's your moral person. And what is a moral person going to do with a wicked person? You're going to judge them. Because it's your job. And if for no other thing than the way you say, well, I wouldn't do that. Well, I'm not going to do that. No, did you read that verse? Let's read it again. Therefore, you are, everybody say inexcusable. It's not a hard word, is it? You are inexcusable, whosoever you are that judge. If you're making a judgment, now you can make your own judgment. Well, should I do that or not? Should I actually, I'm thinking about killing him, but should I do it? Women, thinking about killing him, should I do it? Well, there's all kinds of consequences, not the least of which is going to jail. However, but see, you're making this judgment. You make a judgment in yourself as to whether or not to do it. So if you decide not to do it, you're going to judge the guy that does. Now, judging the act as an act of wickedness and sin, yeah, sure, absolutely. But judging the person, judging that individual, you don't get to do that. They might have had a good reason to kill him. Just like you would if you were in their shoe. Amen? So you're sitting here, you're going to judge him. Tommy, you know what I'm talking about. He needed killing. Right? Anybody know people like that, that needed killing? You know? They just needed, they needed it. It was better for everybody. All the way around. So, but, problem is, in the same way that you judge, you condemn yourself. So right here, when this guy judges moral behavior against wicked behavior, you've already judged yourself. You've already condemned yourself. Amen?
Amen?
Okay? If you have made a judgment between moral and wicked, you have now judged yourself. You have already condemned yourself. All right? So now, true repentance is for you to, like I said, to go ahead and take yourself, allow yourself to go from being a good person to being an absolutely wicked person, because that's the person who qualifies for Jesus' sacrifice. Amen? I'll say it again. Go ahead and be qualified for Jesus' sacrifice by saying that I am a totally wicked, there's no hope for me person. Amen? Amen. Anybody here want to get saved today? Huh? Is it? I am totally, absolutely wicked. Now don't check with your brains. Don't check with your good behavior. Don't check with your husband or wife and see if they'll agree with you. They will. I mean, if you think you need that kind of help. Now here is then, okay, so you have to do this. If you're moral, you have to be wicked first. You have to qualify. Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, you have to fill out the form, you know. Do you qualify for this kind of aid? You know, if you're filling out that FAFSA form for college, there's some forms, if you fill it out wrong, you don't qualify for aid. You know, if you don't check this box down here, if you don't check that wicked box, you know, you don't qualify. You mark that box. Do it right now. I qualify totally. Now, what that's going to do for you is it's going to take you out of this do-it-myself mode. It's going to take you out of do-it-myself, do-it-yourself. Come on, let's do it ourselves. Let's you know, pull up our bootstraps and do it ourselves, because God paid for everything, so now He expects me to work out my own salvation. Well, did you read the next verse? Philippians 2:12, but read through 13. He said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. All right? So what we're going to do here is now we're going to take this and go up here, right? And call that going from wicked to holy. We're going to call that true conversion. So if you're good this morning, let's go down to wicked, check that box, and then receive the sacrifice and receive the promise. Amen? And you say, well, that is such a big hurdle. You know, wasn't it better when I was being good? Yeah, but you weren't getting anywhere. There was no fruit that belonged to Jesus. There's only fruit that belonged to you. There was only fruit that belonged to you. And what happens to that fruit? It's nasty. You know, it's no good. You know, that fruit is ruined. That fruit is spoiled. It's not even fruit. You know, it's actually, you know, it's nothing. It's air. There's absolutely nothing to it. But here now, this true conversion is to say, Jesus, I am absolutely, totally wicked beyond belief. I am absolutely without hope. Now, you know what? You don't think that way. I know you don't think that way. Okay? I understand that you do not think that way. You think I'm pretty good. Well, forget your thinking. That's stinking thinking. Don't think. Just take the Word of God right where it's at and say, I'm totally wicked, totally absolutely wicked, and I need Jesus absolutely. I have no hope of righteousness or joy or a fulfilled life apart from Him. As the brother said, seeking first the kingdom of God. Then all these other things will be added to you. Seeking first the kingdom. All right? Now back over here in Romans, chapter 2. But we are sure, verse 2, that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. That is, everything back in chapter 1, which actually we could go back there. If you went back to chapter 1 in Romans, verse back to 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, maligning, whisperers, backbiters, do we find you yet? Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, proud. We get anybody? Oh, I thought they were just talking about, you know, the homosexuals or something in this chapter 1. No, he actually got to you. Amen? He actually got down to you. You thought he was talking about the bad, bad people. You know what? They're not any worse than you. You're exactly the same. Amen? Said, you're exactly the same. Amen? Are you exactly the same? Say, yes, I am. Amen. Okay, let's keep going. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Oh. Disobedient to parents. My kids are in here. Anybody else? Y'all ought to bring your kids to church. You know, we can read stuff like this to them. You'll get them. Amen? Yeah, see, though? But you see, they can't help it. They can't help it. They're just wicked, sinful. Right, Grace? Totally wicked, sinful. You know? Absolutely. Esther? Totally wicked and sinful. I tell Grace, I said, Grace, you're so good, but not really. You know, you like to encourage her, but it's not true. And she knows what I mean. She knows the difference between, you know, wicked and sinful. It's like Micah and Joel. I love preaching to people when they walk in. You know, they know they're absolutely, totally wicked. It says here, a sinful thing is disobedient to parents. But I know they're disobedient all the time. They just might not tell their dad. Praise the Lord. Now this little guy here, he is not yet disobedient to his parent. Because Lori won't let him out of her sight. He can't go anywhere. Hallelujah. It's good to have people you can preach to. Amen? Okay, let's keep reading. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. Well, that sounds like one of the bad ones. Implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, they know it's wicked, that they which commit such things are worthy of a spanking. Oh, wait, he says worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them to do them. That is, you know, turn the other way. It's like, you don't say anything. But have pleasure in them to do them. Therefore, you are inexcusable. If you judge, because you do the, we just read all that list. I mean, that list just sounds like you, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like people out there. It sounds like people in here. So, now, to go back to review. Let's review. I am I can't even spell licentious. There, that's better. Okay? Now, so, I am totally wicked. Everybody say that? I'm totally wicked. Apart from Him, I'm nothing. Absolutely. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That's good. All right. So, now, what you do is now I repent of morality. I want you to repent of moral good works. I repent of moral dead good works. And I receive the promise of God. I receive the promise of God. Total righteousness. Total perfection. Now, what's going to happen is that as you begin to seek the face of God, you realize, see, if you'll be this, all of a sudden, God has an open door to begin to transform you outwardly. Amen? Because you're no longer in the way trying to be good. It's like if I'm trying to drive my car and one of my kids is in the middle of the steering wheel trying to drive my car, it's just not working. Get out. Let me drive. There's a song back in the old days. Paul, back in the old days, Jesus is driving. I'm leaving all the driving to the chief. Now I'm riding in the back seat. Leaving all the driving to the chief. You know, now I'm riding in the back seat. Leaving all the driving to the chief. Love song. Jesus Movement, 1972. Back in the olden times. Westbury, Cornerstone. Amen. See, I'm riding in the back seat. See, get in the back seat. Let Jesus drive. Don't you be driving anymore. Amen. Don't be driving anymore, Art. Quit it. Amen. Whew. Praise the Lord. Don't be driving anymore. Now all of a sudden, you are holy. Now I want you to say this. Say, I'm holy.
I'm holy.
Now see, boy, you were nervous about saying that, weren't you? You liked it here. Everybody likes it here. They just, well, they like it right there. Whatever. They like it right here in the middle. It's very comfortable right here to be right in the middle. That's my comfort zone. My comfort zone is not to be wicked, not to be holy. Amen? Now I'm back to just you and your flesh. That's my comfort zone. I like to be comfortable. That is, I don't like to call anybody call me holy. Well, that'd be just proud. And I don't want anybody to call me wicked because, you know, my gosh, I've done some good stuff. And, you know, God ought to be happy with some of that. You know what? He's not. Because I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now, the thing is that God absolutely loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. He sent Jesus to pay for every one of your mistakes, every one of your sins. But He also came to do more than that. He came to deposit the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit on the inside of you to do all of the transformation. Amen? So let Him do it. You quit doing it all. Quit kind of kicking Him out. See, we do that. We do that. We kick the Holy Ghost out. We say, no, I'll do it. No, I'll handle it. It'll be okay. I'll do it. No, it won't be okay because nothing will ever get done. Amen? I know how that is. You get in there and you try to do it. When you're pastor, you'll do that too. You'll try to do that. You'll try to, you know, be a good guy. You'll try to be a good person. Act like you're a good, at least act like a good person. You know what? You're not. I'm not. And it's got to be the Holy Spirit. It's the only God. So everybody's the same. Pastors, people. They're all people. Amen? Pastor's just a job God gave you to do. I don't even know if it's a profession. I don't know what it is. It's an example to the flock. It's not even a job. It's an example to the flock. It's somebody who's been down the road and is going to help you get there too. Amen? So I'm just telling you, quit trying. Quit making an attempt to look like something that you're not and let the Holy Ghost do it. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Say, Father, morning, daily, Father, thank You that You love me. Thank You that You're working in me to will and to do of Your good pleasure. Thank You, Lord, that I am totally wicked beyond measure, but You have totally forgiven me. And I just ask You to flow through me. Just lead me in the way that I should go today so that I don't attempt to do anything apart from You. Apart from You, I can do nothing. And then it's just not a something to say. It's just not a line you recite. But it's actually the power, it's become the power of God. Apart from Him, I can do nothing. But in Him, I can do all things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So right here, that's the true conversion. He's going, skipping this moral altogether, because you'll never, from being a good person, you'll never be perfect. Neither will you admit you're totally inept and totally a total failure. You are living in total denial of the power of God. Get out of this. This one, let's make a big one. That one doesn't exist. The only one that exists is wicked and holy. And now you've gone from this one to this one because you said, I can't. I can do nothing. Because I totally qualify. That's what we read this last time, is that Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. He says, you go all halfway across the world to make one convert, and then you make him twice the child of the devil as you are yourself. That's an indictment. That's a heck of an indictment. Is that you go make a disciple to your religion. And if you have Christianity as a religion, something you do to try to please God rather than having that relationship with Jesus, then you're trying to tell somebody else how to live? You do. You're just making them twice the child of the devil as you are yourself. Because they're attempting to do something that's impossible. You ever seen that little joke where you write on the one side of the paper, said, turn this over? They say how to keep an Aggie busy. I don't know how many other ways this works. But you write on one side of the paper, said, turn this over. And then you turn the paper over and you write on the other side, turn this over. Then you hand it to an Aggie. And it's how you keep an Aggie busy. Any Aggies in here? Oh, yeah. Well, if you hand it to them, they'll be sitting there, turn that thing over, and you just keep going. And that's how you keep a Christian busy. Amen? Just give him something to do. Just give him something to do. Keep turning this piece of paper over. What are you accomplishing? Busy work. I said the devil keeps you busy. Amen? Absolutely. Nothing. Nothing being accomplished whatsoever. It's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. Back over here in Romans 2. And think you this, O man, that judge them which do such things, and do the same, that you shall escape the judgment of God? Or despise you the riches of His goodness and His forbearance and His long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But after your hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up to yourself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them by whom patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, but to them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. There is no respect of persons with God. The righteousness that He's calling for is the righteousness which is of faith. The righteousness which is of faith, not the righteousness of your outward deeds. You cannot do them. You can do nothing apart from Him. So today, go for that true conversion. Don't go for the shortcut. Amen? Go ahead and be who you are. Be totally wicked in your person. And then allow the Holy Spirit to transform you from absolutely zero and wicked to holy. in Christ Jesus. You're holy by faith, but then he begins to transform your outward behavior as you look upon him. He were changed from one degree of glory to the next. Amen? Anybody get blessed today? Anybody understand today?
Best sermon you ever preached in your life.
This is amazing, isn't it? Who knows? Let's all stand together. Father, we thank you for your great mercy and your great goodness, your faithfulness. And I just ask you, Lord God, today that we would see the total wickedness that we are. And Lord God, that we would see the futility of human righteousness and human morality, of being good. So set us free to receive your righteousness, and set us free to hear your voice and to follow you, and to no longer assume that I am God, as Eve did in receiving the word of the devil. Thinking I know good and evil. So Father, this day I ask you, and I pray for us, pray for me, pray for these in this room, that each one would have a testimony to share in the days ahead, shortly, that I have repented of wickedness. In fact, I repented of being moral and become totally wicked, then repented of that, because that's my true existence without Jesus. And then receiving the salvation bought by the blood of Jesus and empowered then through the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, to change me and transform me into your image. Father, thank you for the testimonies of those who will share these things. We give you the praise and the thanksgiving for it in Jesus' name. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. All right, love you all.